This is SG2 Perspectives, a conversation with SG2 experts and industry thought leaders about the biggest trends in healthcare and what we expect that's going to mean for the future of healthcare delivery. We're always looking for new ideas and topics from our listeners, so please reach out, share your ideas. You can email us at sg2perspectives@sg2.com or connect with us on LinkedIn or Twitter, and you can find links to all that in the show notes. Now, on to this week's episode.
If they have not included their executive pharmacy leader, chief pharmacy officer, whatever role that is, in the strategic planning process for the organizations, they are not going to succeed.
Welcome to SG2 Perspectives. I'm your host, Trevor Durin, and today, two colleagues, Mark Larson from SG2 and new to SG2 Perspective, Stephen Lucio, who's senior principal for Vizient's Pharmacy Solutions. And they're joining me to talk about a relatively new topic for SG2, and that's pharmacy strategy. Historically, we know pharma is a big portion of total spend, but it really doesn't get a corresponding amount of attention from health system strategy teams. But that approach is changing pretty rapidly, and given the innovation and high cost associated with many pharmaceuticals, especially specialty pharmacy. So Mark and Stephen wrote a terrific briefing, and as soon as I got a chance to read it, I said this would be a great opportunity for them to come on and share their new research through our podcast. Mark, I'll start with you. Why hasn't pharmacy strategy been a top priority for health system planning teams?
You know, I think when we look back traditionally, pharmacy services has been rather transactional, kind of more of a logistical function in health systems. They were focused really on cost and making sure that drugs, therapies could be distributed across a hospital. And let's just say pharmacy leaders were not always the first to the dance when it came to strategic planning. But, you know, that's all changing. Rising drug cost and really more of a shift of new and potentially revenue generating therapies that you hear about that are coming onto the market really are changing and moving more of the drug spend to the ambulatory environment. And think about it across the system of care. We need to be able to deliver these therapies. We need to be able to get them to patients, and we need to really connect them to the clinical leaders that are managing them across the health system. So that's probably the big accelerant, and it's just continuing to grow dramatically. And so for good reason, this really has captured the attention of C-suite administrators as well as the strategy team. The pharmacy lead now has a seat at the table, and many of our leading organizations that we spoke with are really accelerating that process and making it part of the strategy.
Yeah, Mark, I'm excited to hear about some of those examples. First, one of the things that really popped out to me from your research was your look at variation in inpatient drug spend as a place where most hospitals or health systems can find immediate savings. Vizient has incredible data assets that informed a lot of that analysis. So give us the highlights. What did we learn?
For the team, when we did this study, it was actually a lot of fun, because when we actually compared peer hospitals to Vizient benchmarks, and we found incredible variation in the inpatient drug spend between hospitals and then across diagnoses among hospitals. And we really found in our study, when we dug a little deeper, that the variation is actually driven by utilization of a few of these more high-cost drugs. I guess no surprise to others, but we were amazed that some of these drugs can actually cost an additional $1,000 to $2,000 per case. So if you think about DRG payment, you only get a certain amount per DRG. When you add $1,000 or $2,000 of extra cost, that certainly impacts your margins overall. So really raising the attention. So definitely an area of focus. And I would even say across hospitals and within DRGs, we saw up to hundreds of thousands of dollars of potential opportunity when compared to peer medians. The other thing we really realized was that there were some real high price specialty maintenance drugs that we typically would assume are delivered in the outpatient setting that were being delivered in inpatient. Some of these drugs, rightly so, did need to be delivered inpatient, but in some cases, where clinically appropriate, there were opportunities to deliver them in the outpatient setting. For hospitals that can have really staffs do the appropriate billing and practices, there's opportunities to save some money in that aspect as well. So certainly this information is incredibly valuable for health systems to clinically evaluate within their hospital pharmacy and therapeutics evaluation team, and really get the physician leaders on board to say, are these appropriate or are there opportunities to potentially shift cost?
So, Stephen, I'll go to you now, because it's one thing to identify opportunities. It's another thing to realize them. Changing physician preference items can be very tricky. How do strong pharmacy teams typically navigate these inpatient cost opportunities?
I think Mark really articulated a lot about what we found and also how important it is for organizations to continue to focus in this area and never lose sight of it. Because traditionally, that type of discussion, looking for opportunities to lower costs through either generic drugs or changing to less expensive therapeutic alternatives, that's really the bread and butter of the inpatient formulary management work and pharmacy and therapeutics committees. That's something that most health systems are doing already. Yet, as Mark described and is identified in the report, there's still a lot of opportunities. And frequently, a lot of the low-hanging fruit of easy conversions have already been addressed. And so now you're looking at more complicated, complex changes for expensive drugs or for different therapies where you have to even more get that physician buy-in.
If inpatient analysis and variation reduction is the low-hanging fruit of pharmacy strategy, and a lot have done it already, I love that in this briefing, you guys make the case that a comprehensive pharmacy service line is a much more advanced system of care approach. Stephen, what does it look like when pharmacy is a service line? What are some of the opportunities, challenges, when health systems decide they're going to try and really stand up pharmacy as its own service line?
I think it really transcends the circumstance and the expectations that people have additionally identified. As Mark mentioned, traditionally looking at logistics and making sure that you've got good cost management in place is the central focus when you're looking at the acute care inpatient environment. But once you expand that to all the different sites of care and the system of care, you've got different requirements from a patient engagement, a regulatory, an infrastructure, a financial perspective. So it is really a different landscape. And as SG2 is so clearly identified, this trend has only been amplified of the trend of moving to a non-acute setting has only been amplified and enhanced by COVID, because we're trying to find less expensive sites of care. We're trying to make care more accessible to patients. We're trying to manage these specialty drugs, the overwhelming majority of which are intended for use outside of the hospital. Moving from a circumstance of where you're just looking at cost to where you're ensuring the appropriate management of medications, you're having to deal with regulatory limitations. Those are just a multitude of different considerations that the traditional health system pharmacy leader has not had to address. And so that's why SG2, Vizient have been really working to help members understand how they develop those competencies and how they ensure that there is pharmacy leadership positioned to take advantage of all these opportunities.
There's a lot we don't know about what 2021 is going to look like, but what we can be pretty certain about is margin management is going to be a big theme across the healthcare industry. Mark, what are some opportunities to improve margin at different sites of care if we're taking this comprehensive service line system of care approach to pharmacy strategy?
Trevor, when we first went into this, the research for this briefing, we really thought we were going to be focusing on cost and the cost side of the margin equation. As Stephen had noted, it really has become more of looking across the entire system of care. One of the things that we really found helpful, and as we wrote the briefing, as we learned more from other organizations, this entrepreneurial spirit for health systems to look into this, we painted a system of care. We took the system of care, SG2 system of care curve that most of you are familiar with, and we actually identified where all those sites were across both inpatient and ambulatory and what those opportunities were. Certainly, we talked about the high-cost drugs utilization in the inpatient setting, but thinking about that, seizing opportunities to capture those specialty drug revenue in the ambulatory environment where the economics make sense. These therapies are going to increasingly be delivered in the ambulatory setting. They're growing. The dollars are big. And honestly, they're becoming a bigger and bigger part of the overall healthcare spend. I think a great example is what Cleveland Clinic did. They moved home infusion services into the home across over 1,000 patients per month, which was pretty significant. And I think the more important thing is that they achieved 98% patient satisfaction. At SG2, we talk a lot about shift of care to the home. This is a fantastic example of where it made sense for both Cleveland Clinic and their patients. and the market. This really ties clinical care to patients across the system of care. The last piece from the margin improvement is the opportunity to scale pharmacy services. Pharmacy services, they're expensive and the dollars are growing to manage all these complex conditions, these expensive drugs, these very sophisticated therapies. Given the complexity of all of this, we're seeing leading organizations really begin to build programs that scale across the entire system of care and in some cases across the market. And I think Ohio Health, they really are developing a strong population health strategy. They made pharmacy part of that strategy and built pharmacy management into their diabetes management and prevention program, where pharmacists were actually involved in reducing A1Cs for the population. Some great examples out there that if we had 2 hours, we'd love to tell you about all of them because they're very exciting.
Completely agree, Mark. I think you've gave some great examples that we were able to identify and just show the different ways in which member organizations are attempting to approach this circumstance. There's no lack of opportunity, and it's just making sense of what is the best opportunity and making a conscious decision whether you're going to address it directly or if you're going to partner with others. And that frequently becomes one of the biggest challenges because there often are limitations in terms of resources, just what people can do, what they can get approved through their organization to build a specialty pharmacy or to launch a retail practice or to expand home infusion. That's kind of where we are at this transition point in the legislative, the administrative standpoint, trying to figure out what of these areas are going to be even further fostered by additional legislation, regulatory considerations. So that way we know how the landscape is going to continue to change further. And that's why pharmacy leaders cannot just focus on the inpatient, the hospital-based practice. They must understand the relevance of all these other sites of care to see how pharmacy has to play a role and how it has to support and expand that connectivity so there is access to care.
Stephen, say a little bit more about something you touched on there, which is pharmacy leadership's role, how they're increasingly thinking about both growth opportunities and cost savings opportunities.
Absolutely. One of the first things that we tell all member organizations, their senior leadership, is that if they have not included their executive pharmacy leader, chief pharmacy officer, whatever role that is, in the strategic planning process for the organizations, they are not going to succeed. As we include in this brief, and as Mark mentioned, you only have to look at the expense of these specialty medications and these increasingly personalized medications that are coming to market. If you're planning the future of your organization, the extent to which you can meet the needs of the populations that you have to serve, and you do not have clarity, appropriate leadership regarding the management, the administration, the monitoring of these medications, you're not going to succeed. You have to have the leadership in place with the appropriate allowance of control to evaluate all these different dimensions of care and see what is the appropriate role for the organization. Providing care is important. Part and parcel with that is what is the payer landscape. We frequently see a lack of connectivity in terms of pharmacy leadership not being included in discussions that provider organizations are having with their insurers, with their payers. And as a result, they unfortunately get limited and excluded from being able to deliver medications. Maybe the home infusion or outpatient infused medicines are directed away from the organization because of limitations in their agreements, or they get carved out of specialty pharmacy practice considerations. Obviously, that's a revenue consideration that is a potential for loss, but also that's a gap in the coordination of care, which is the most appropriate thing, because if you're giving all these expensive medications to patients or they're being given to patients and you can't monitor it, then you don't know that adherence is taking place. You don't know what outcomes are transpiring. And so for all those reasons, having the leadership and the scope of control to address the strategic plan and also making sure that your pharmacy leadership is included and engaged with your payer negotiation teams are really two critical aspects.
That's exciting. You guys talked about some cases already, but that's one of my favorite parts of new research. Mark, like you outlined, often we have an idea of where we're going to go, but interviews are usually the place that derail that idea or lead us in a new direction. You mentioned a couple case studies. Any other favorites or aha moments during this research?
I think the one that really was a big aha for the team when we spoke was with Ochsner Health System in New Orleans. With my involvement in cost strategy and really identifying where some of these opportunities exist, hearing about organizations that are able to actually scale services across all of their entire system of care, all their hospitals, all their ambulatory sites, it's very impressive. And Ochsner did a really nice job with their managing their pharmacy costs across the system of care. What they're doing is really highlighting, identifying where can we scale? Where could we do something centralized that we could deliver at scale, provide better access to our consumers at a lower price point? A couple of examples that they identified was they really took the pharmacy supply chain and really streamlined inventory management. They centralized formularies across all their hospitals where appropriate and really had developed a better dispensing strategy that was much more standardized and centralized to achieve scale. The other example is the AI-enabled auto refill system service that's built into their electronic health record. It's just examples like that, being innovative, as Stephen said, being entrepreneurial. There are opportunities out there to achieve scale. It's just looking for those nuggets out there and turning a few rocks over.
Well said. Stephen, I'll go to you with the last question here. Obviously, COVID has affected so many aspects of what healthcare looked like in 2020, what it's going to look like in 2021 and beyond. What are going to be some of the lasting effects on the pharmacy practice and pharmacy enterprise?
COVID has been just so horrible for the world, for our nation, for healthcare involved. Everyone can understand it. Given the consequences that we faced, it's critically important that we take the lessons learned and address a lot of the issues that have been inherent in practice. COVID didn't so much as create a lot of new problems, it just highlighted the challenges and the weaknesses that exist in the healthcare landscape.
Sure.
We've got to make sure that we address those. Some of the things that have been extremely useful during COVID that I think will persist are things like telemedicine, telepharmacy. We have examples of members who are using telepharmacy to help with ED visits, to make sure that there's good scrutiny and screening of patients in that environment. As has been mentioned, home infusion. To what extent can we avert not bringing people into an environment where there's a lot of sick individuals? How much and how complex of care can we provide closer to the patient? That helps us not only decrease the risk of infection during the pandemic, but also increases patient satisfaction, which hopefully drives greater adherence. And again, to illustrate the great examples that Mark and team have uncovered is that Ohio Health example of focusing pharmacy on population health. Obviously, COVID impacts everyone, but we've seen the exceptionally negative impacts for people who have a history of diabetes, hypertension, and that's an example of how we've not really been able to address population health needs. Their work in focusing on trying to have pharmacy as a critical element in that area not only would help us during this COVID time, but also would help us in the future just increase the extent of health for patients and hopefully improve the extent of medication management exists. We must take every lesson that has been learned and apply it to address these challenges in terms of access, in terms of adherence, in terms of driving greater patient population health.
That's a great wrap up. Thank you, Stephen. Mark and Stephen, thank you for coming on today to help educate our listeners. But really, thank you both for helping advance the way SG2 thinks about pharmacy as a strategic asset across the system of care. And we're excited to help our members and others think about it that way as well. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Everyone stay safe and be well.
This has been another episode of SG2 Perspectives. If you like what you are hearing, please subscribe and don't forget to rate and review. We'd love to hear from you. Please connect with us on LinkedIn or Twitter at SG2 Healthcare. You can also reach us via email at sg2perspectives@sg2.com. Reach out and let us know what healthcare trends are most important to you. Please also listen and subscribe to our colleague, Dr. Tom Villanueva's Modern Practice podcast on Vizient's Medical Leadership Channel. Tom discusses key healthcare trends through the clinical leadership lens. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening.